moment. I do want to you to know that I consider it a privilege to stand before you and to speak to you. And I feel like that I have heard from the Lord for this service today. I want to give honor to my beautiful wife of 54 years who has stood by my side. Amen, amen. And we've walked some rough roads together. Nothing like having somebody to walk with you. Amen. Praise God. Appreciate that. And I appreciate other friends that have come this morning. It's good to see Alice and Charlene here today. Appreciate them coming. And my friend Randy, we crossed paths pretty regularly. I don't know where he went, but he was here a minute ago. There he is. All right. Amen. And all the rest of you, we're a great big family. Amen. Turn to that when sitting next to you and say, I'm glad you're my brother or sister, as the case may be. Amen, amen. And we are having a great service, right? Why is that? Not because I'm here. Not because you're here. Because His presence is in the house. Let's lift your hands and worship Him a bit today. Let's give Him some praise. Hallelujah. 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 I saw a rehash picture in my mind when I came on the platform this morning. When we moved here, 2008, it was the year of the flood. And I remember a vivid picture of a beautiful vacation home crumbling up into the water. You remember seeing that? Most of you do. And it just kind of showed me how valuable homes are, houses are, in this world. Because subsequent tsunamis, hurricanes, did a number on houses everywhere. But then it hit me between the eyes. The same thing is true of these fleshly bodies. We only have them for a short time. And then it's over, right? So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. And I'm talking to everybody here. So I don't want you to think that I'm giving you permission to get up and leave. I'm not. This is for you. I want to talk to you about that part of us that never dies. Our eternal soul. Our eternal soul. And I want to urge you this morning, and this is my subject, listen to your soul. I want to read a few scriptures from Psalms, primarily, refer to some others. I want to start with Psalm 25 and verse 1. And I want you to read it with me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I wonder if there's anybody here that has heard from your soul lately. Then I'm asking you, what did you hear from it? Think about it. Then I want you to go with me to Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth, continues to thirst for Thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My thirsty soul is thirsting for God. If you want to know why there is such spontaneous, exuberant praise and worship in this place, it's because we're ministering to our souls. God is ministering to our souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read a little more. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him. I'm in the wrong psalm. I'm sorry. Let me start again. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You probably didn't see him a while ago, but he's here. Amen. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Anybody praised him this morning? Has everybody praised him yet this morning? Praise him a little more. Amen. Amen. Let your lips praise him. Amen. Open your mouth wide. Praise him. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul, after that, my soul shall be satisfied. Woo! Are you yet satisfied this morning? Amen. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My soul continues to follow you, Lord. Amen. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Everybody said amen. Surely we are a busy people. Too busy? Too busy. I believe the enemy of our souls is a contributing factor to the busyness of our culture. The devil knows the busier we are, the less time we will have for prayer and for reading and meditating on the Word of God. Right? Hallelujah. I do not want to give the devil more authority than he already has, but I do know that most of us have more to do than we can get done. Thus, our hectic lifestyle doesn't leave us much, if any, time to really minister to our souls. And I'm concerned about that this morning. None of us fully understand that part of our being called our soul. I certainly can't explain all that the Bible says about it and all that I have read about it. The soul is mentioned many times in Scripture, but seldom defined or explained. The clearest and most accurate definition I have found is simply this. The soul is that spiritual part of the inner man that gives him the ability to communicate with God. And we can also include that inner voice that speaks to us of right and wrong. Now, we need to listen to our souls. We really do. We need to let our souls speak to us today. We should consider carefully, first of all, the value of the human soul. You see, there's something about our souls that's awesome. Of all the parts of the human makeup, the soul is the only part, as far as we know, that will live forever. The heart, the mind, the body, the emotions will all find their end someday. But the Bible tells us that the soul, that inner part, will never die. Never die. Never. They will live, the soul will live forever somewhere. Now think this over carefully. If that is the most important part of our beings, then we need to take more time to nourish and strengthen and lift up and undergird our souls. Amen. Amen. You see, you cannot check the condition of your soul. You cannot see it with your naked eye. You cannot weigh it. You cannot measure it. In fact, you can't even tell it's there. But it is. And biblically, your soul can speak to you. And it speaks to us of the spiritual. It reminds us of the supernatural. The soul speaks with an inner voice, one that we cannot hear with our ears. But down inside our mind and heart, it's speaking. And your soul has risen to the surface here with all the worship and praise that's been going on, and it's beginning to talk to you. You know what the soul is saying to us? I like this. I like this. Yes. I love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your soul cries out against some things. Cries out against spiritual lethargy and apathy that's so prevalent in our world. Even creeps over into the church. Anybody say amen to that? You know. Could this be why we awaken in the middle of the night, disturbed over something curt and crude we said to somebody? Could it be why we are concerned about something we have done or didn't do? It's your soul that reminds you that God still is. Amen. And that He still cares about us. And that He still wants to do some things for us. And He wants to do some things with us. Thus, it is vital today that we pull our attention back, as Brother Leonardson said earlier, and focus on Jesus Christ. And pull ourselves in from the world. Don't worry about when church is over this morning. You just say, right now, I'm going to pay attention to my soul. I'm going to give my soul a little attention. I'm going to do something about my soul. Slip up our hands and ask God to help us do that. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We need to listen to our souls. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. It's no wonder David, in one of his deep moments of genuine praise and worship, cries out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." The next verse, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," again, "and forget not all His benefits." We need to praise Him with our soul. We need to worship Him with our souls. We need to bless Him with our souls. Amen. 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 Then in our text, Psalm 63, the psalmist is writing, saying, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I want to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary." Where? That's what's important about this place. We are in His presence here. What a powerful song the singer sang earlier. In His presence. That's where our souls want to be. That's where we need to be. In God's presence. Amen. Amen. Then the psalmist talks about going to God's house, the sanctuary, to praise and worship Him. Look at verses 2 and 3 and 4. Psalmist says, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Then and only then does verse 5 tell us, my soul shall be satisfied. My soul shall be satisfied. And the last part of verse 5 tells us, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And then in verse 8, the psalmist cries out, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand, or thy great power, holds me up. Amen. Amen. Psalm 25, after the first verse, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. David in verse 13 tells us about the man whose soul shall dwell at ease and his seed shall inherit the earth. That's the man I want to be. How about you? Amen. Amen. What is that man's characteristics? First, verse 11 tells us that that man repents. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. He repents. Amen. And then after he repents, he learns to fear the Lord in the next verse. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. Then Psalm 42 and verse 1 talks about as the hart, H-A-R-T, the young deer, panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He can hardly wait to get back to the sanctuary where he can begin to communicate with God. Don't you want to communicate with God today? Don't you feel like your soul is thirsty and hungry and needing some lifting up? This is where it happens, folks. This is the presence of God. This is what touches our lives. This is what changes the way we live. This is what directs us in the right paths. Amen. Lift your hands again and praise Him. Hallelujah. Let your soul loose. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Got a lot of notes. I'm not worried about that. I want the Lord to minister in the house today, okay? I am reminded of a fella who came into the church in Billings, Montana, many, many years ago. Can't even remember when. But came in. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Washed away his sins in Jesus' name. And he did fine for a while, but after a while, the pull of the world got a hold of him. Pulled him back out. I never quit trying to reach for him because I considered him not member of the church or a part of the church because he is way out there doing things he shouldn't do. But I'd go by and try to see him once in a while. And he turned from a healthy, middle-aged man into a shriveled, wrinkled, older guy. That's what sin does to you, folks. Amen. Always. So finally one day He was over in his part of town, so I went by to see if he was home, and yeah, he was home. So he invited me in, his little barren kitchen, and I went in and sat at the table, and we began to visit. As I usually do, I tried to steer the conversation around to talk about his soul, his life. And he looked at me, sorrow written on his face, and he said, I don't know how it happened. Pastor, I don't know. I have thought about it many, many times, and I don't know what pulled me away, but it happened. And I tell you what I saw. not anything there, but in my mind, I saw a caged animal in a cage trying to get out, walking back and forth looking for a way out. Don't let that happen to you. Let that soul loosed. Hey, folks, whatever you do, don't get bound up with your flesh to the point you can't let God minister to your soul. He is reaching for your soul this morning. He is reaching for your eternal soul. Turn it loose. Let it come out. Wave your hands and whatever you need to do to let that soul out. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You see, in thinking of these verses I have read to you today, it's very apparent to me that the only place your soul really lives, the only place your soul can be satisfied and really enjoy itself, is in the presence of God. No place else. No place else. Amen. Amen. And the major place your soul actually connects with God is right here in His sanctuary. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, you can talk to God anywhere. Driving down the street, working on the job, alone in your house at night, in the bed, looking up, waiting for sleep. You can talk to Him and hear from Him. Amen. We all do. But this is the place. Do you hear me? This is the place. This is the place where our soul communicates with Almighty God. This is it. Don't neglect this place. Don't skip services. Come to the house of God. Communicate with Him. Come on, let's lift our hands and worship Him together. The soul wants to worship Him. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My soul thirsteth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land, to see Thy power and glory. I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many people today are listening to the cries of their bodies, seeking a physical challenge. Football game, basketball tournament, home show, annual fair rodeo, horse race, Super Bowl, drag race, triathlon, Ironman, some sales competition or beauty contest. It's all about the body. But there will come a time in everybody's life when your body won't be much interested in that stuff anymore. But your soul is still alive. Your soul is still alive. On the other hand, thousands of people crowd into our colleges and visit our bookstores and our libraries, listening to the cries of their mind, wanting more knowledge, more education. But there will come a time when your mind won't be interested in that stuff anymore. Amen. But your soul will never die. Your soul will still be reaching for eternal things. Amen. 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 Still other people need to stand in line, make appointments to see counselors and psychologists, listening to the cries of their emotions. All of this has to do with our bodies, our minds, our emotions. They're crying cries of their emotions. And at some point, all of this will lose its importance. It just really won't matter much anymore. But your soul will still be alive. Your soul will still need to communicate. Amen. Amen. But in our high-pressure, stressful world, very few people pay much attention at all to the soul. And yet the soul still cries out. The soul is still reaching. And we ourselves are guilty at times of listening to our bodies too much, taking care of our other needs. Have you ever really stopped long enough to listen to your soul? What is your soul saying to you? You don't have to answer. I'm just asking it for you to think about it. Have you ever heard of anybody, anywhere, at any time, who is actually listening to the cry of their soul? Kind of a strange question, isn't it? You see, you can question people about why they go to church. You'll get a variety of answers. They'll say, well, because I know I ought to, or because I really need to, or I just feel like I should go. But very seldom do you hear of anyone going to church because their souls are crying out for it. Amen. But let me tell you something. With the psalmist, your soul is crying out. It's thirsting for God. It's thirsting in a dry and thirsty land for the presence of God, for the power of God, for the direction of God, for the leadership of God. Oh, listen to the cry of your soul. Amen. Why is it that we can't ever seem to pray enough? Why is it that we don't ever want to stop praising Him? We can praise Him until our strength is gone and we still want to praise Him more. Thank God for that. Why is it that we sometimes stop worshiping Him? No matter how much we do, it kind of always just seems never quite enough. Have you noticed that? Why do we have this continual deep desire to get closer to God? Anybody here want to get a little closer to Him? Sure you do. Everybody does. Amen. We all know something within us, something deep inside of us is crying out for more. Amen. That something within us is our souls. Why is it we continually long for the miraculous and the supernatural, the mighty moves of the Almighty? Even out in that world out there, there's a deep continuing need to get a word from God or to try to understand the prophetic implications of what's happening in our world or try to even understand His mighty works. You know what it is? It's humanity's souls crying out to God. And listen, we really do need to listen to the cries of our soul. Amen. In fact, there's a constant cry from inhabitants in our world for the supernatural. The cry comes from perishing humanity, dying without hope, lost forever and ever. It doesn't really matter how far medicine and education have advanced in our world. There is still an awesome cry for the supernatural. It's the soul crying out for God. We well know our weaknesses and shortcomings. We're well aware of our limitations. All of these things awaken us to our desperate need that our soul is crying out to God for. As it cries, you can't help but know your soul is crying out for the supernatural. Folks, right now today, I am urging all of us sitting in this place this morning to hear the urgent need for our souls to be ministered to by the Spirit of God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you are. God is open to minister to your soul right here, right now. Amen. 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 Desperate cry also goes out from this lost world that has not come in contact with a church that preaches truth. And I thank God for the outreach efforts made by Calvary Gospel Church. They're all great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your efforts. God's church needs to listen to the cry of the soul, the longing for people out there for something real and lasting, genuine. Because, well, we need to continue to raise our voices, to stand up and desperately cry for the supernatural to continue working with us. Amen. This place knows, is familiar with miracles. But we must never let that become ordinary. We must always give God praise for what He does, because there's a world out there that's dying without any hope that anything supernatural can reach them. Amen. Amen. You see today, and I'm not putting anything down, I'm just telling you like it is, there's so many dead churches. And so many dead religions, so many empty ceremonies, and so many barren traditions, because the cry of people's souls is for the supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The world out there still crying for the supernatural. One of the most popular newspaper column that's been around a long time continues to be the Daily Horoscope, which is nothing more than ancient astrology. According actually to a recent survey, 31% of the people interviewed believe that their futures are told in the stars. Almost a third of the people, 28%, still think it's possible to communicate with the dead. 16% have faith in palm readers. 7% of humanity are frightened by wizards and witches. Magic and superstition still holds many people's minds, and they're careful to avoid black cats and ladders and afraid of those who cast spells and chant incantations. I'm so glad I'm delivered from that. I'm so glad God's church is not into that. Amen, amen, amen. So in view of all this, the church's cry day and night should be for the spiritual and the supernatural. Let it happen again, God. Whatever you've ever done, you can do it again for us. Amen, amen, amen. We really can't have a heaven-sent, God-anointed revival without the supernatural. Amen. We all agree with that. Seminars, Hollywood stars, sport figures can't bring revival. We need the supernatural. We need the Spirit of God moving freely among us. Amen. Time would not allow me to show you in the Bible the need for us, you and me, to stay close to and to follow after God. But let me just mention a couple of points and I'll be done. Book of Exodus, the children of God were in bondage in Egypt. They groaned because of it. Exodus 2, I think 23, I'm not sure. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Do you know what that was? Here were people whose souls were crying out to God for a divine deliverance. There was no other hope for them. They were just a nation of slaves under bondage that could do nothing about it. And you know what? God delivered them supernaturally, opening the Red Sea, walking across on dry ground. Think of that. Amen, amen, amen. Book of Judges gives us evidence of people crying and God listening. Judges tells us that Israel went through 6 different cycles of apostasy. Apostasy meaning the abandonment of their faith. Apostasy always brought about conquest and bondage at the hands of their enemies. But their bondage brought about the people of God crying unto the Lord. You know what we have the privilege of doing? We have the privilege of crying out to God without being in bondage, without being restricted. But I still think there's a need for desperate prayer and reaching for God that will continue to bring the supernatural and the miracles and the signs and the wonders among us. How many of you believe in miracles? Lift your other hand and thank God. Very few people here that haven't experienced miracles from God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Well, one more illustration. King David was right with God, but only as long as he listened to his soul. You remember there was a point in his kingship when he stopped seeking God about victories, and that's when he fell into several defeats in his life. But as long as he talked with God about direction, he sought God's guidance before making decisions, he succeeded. God was with him. But after he stopped checking with God, he missed the mark, fell into sin. Amen. You see, we're agreed that only God can start a real, genuine revival that can change men's hearts and lives. I believe, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Haven't heard anybody say that for a while, but I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will change men and women. Amen. The Bible assures us, old things will pass away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. Holy Ghost is spiritual. Holy Ghost is supernatural. The Holy Ghost is in the house today. But I want to qualify that by telling you that the Holy Ghost didn't just fall out of heaven, nor does it just blow in on a prevailing wind. It took the cross. It took the burial. It took the resurrection before an outpouring from heaven came to where we could receive that infilling. You see, in Exodus 19 and 12, Moses on Sinai, and God came down to meet with him, and his instructions were, whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely be put to death. You remember that? That's at 19 and 12. Now, these were strict orders to Moses. Nobody could touch the mountain of God and live. At that time, no one could even get close to God and live. When he did speak to them out there in the wilderness, in fact, his voice shook the whole mountain. The mountain quaked. And when the people saw the mountain shake, they declared, "Let not God speak to us, lest we die." Now, their souls were crying out for the supernatural, but they couldn't handle it when it came. And what's happening in this church is we are filled with the Spirit of God, and thus we can handle the supernatural. That's why you feel God when you walk in the doors. That's why you experience Him when you come into the tabernacle, into the sanctuary, and begin to worship Him. That's why the power of God is present, because we have received the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen, amen. It was at an institute for Christian leaders. An elderly Bible scholar and teacher asked, "What do you think God expects of you?" Every sincere Christian sitting there did just what you're doing. They just sat there thinking, because they wanted to hear what he had to say, because all of them were intensely sincere in living for God. They really wanted to please God. They certainly wanted to know the teacher's answer to that question, if he had an answer for it. But he turned and asked the question again after a few moments of silence. He said, "Do you really know what God expects of you?" After a short pause to let the question sink in, he answered the question. "He expects you to fail." He expects you to fail. Everybody in the building sat back. Then he said, "You see, after thousands of years of human history, he knew man could do nothing but fail. He expects you to fail. But, he said, that's why he poured out the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost comes into you, you don't have to worry about failing. It gives you the power and the strength to stand up and walk on and continue following Him. It gives you the strength not to fail." Hallelujah. Anybody hearing me today? Woo! Amen, amen. Come on, everybody stand with me. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I'm still telling you, you need to listen to your soul. Every soul in this building has a need for a touch from God. Amen. And I want to urge and encourage you today, listen to the cry of your soul. If anything that was said or done in this service today touched your soul, you need to step out right now. Make your way to the front, because God wants to renew you in His Spirit if you've once been filled with it. Listen to me. God wants to fill you if you've never spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. He wants you to come and believe God and obey God. Amen. If you've never been baptized, He wants you to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. He wants to give you a fresh start. And then He wants to give you the power to walk the walk and live the life. Amen. Amen. Come while they're coming. Don't wait. Just step out and come. God's talking to you. The soul is speaking.